Holy Spirit, assure us once again of our truest identity as your children, bought, paid for, given the righteousness of Jesus. And as we explore your word, show us what you have there for us today, that we might be continually formed by your word and by your meal into the image of the one who died for us. In his name, amen. As I said a little earlier, we'll look a little bit at, mostly at 1 Corinthians, a little bit at some of Jesus' words, because they both do something. And that is, they both put their finger on something important. They both put their finger on a tension that I think we all feel. It's a tension that we feel deep in our hearts, but maybe we don't acknowledge it with words, or maybe we're afraid to. And the tension is this. There's a tension between who you are and who you want to be. There's a tension between the ideal me and then the real me standing right here, right now. Or the ideal you and the real you. There's a tension between my best intentions and who I wish I was and who I actually am. And there's this tension between my best thoughts and my worst thoughts, or my very best actions and my very worst actions. And there's a tension, and maybe even a gap, and sometimes we feel that gap to be very large, between who you are day to day and who Jesus wants you to be. And we live and feel this tension of me not always living up to what I want to be. And the way I speak and the way I act do not always reflect who I want to be or who God wants me to be. And so there's this gap, and therefore a tension, between who I wish I was and who I really am. And I think living this tension is one of the great mysteries of Christian life and Christian faith. And so Paul says it at the end of chapter 2, as I told you, the very verse that we read last week, but not this week, so if you have your Bible open, you'll see it runs right into it. At the very end of chapter 2, he says, "But we have the mind of Christ." That's gospel words. You are given the mind of Christ. And then in the very next sentence, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as spiritual people, but people of the flesh, infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready. You're still of the flesh. And while there is jealousy and strife and all these things among you," you know, he goes, basically says, what are you doing? Don't do that. And then he gets to the end. He talks about Apollos and Paul working. It's like, no, it's God at work. And then he says, "But we are God's fellow workers." You are God's field, God's building. So when he started by saying, you have the mind of Christ. And then, hey, grow up a little. You know, he said, you're infants, you need to grow and mature. And then he gets to the very end, he says, you know, knock some of this stuff off. And then he gets to the end and says, "But we are God's fellow workers." So do you hear the tension that's going on? Saying, in other words, you are absolutely loved and completely freed by Jesus. Now live like that. You have the mind of Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for you, you have everything. You're a child of God. You're baptized, washed, forgiven, made new, new creation, as Paul says in other places. And you have every right as a child of God because Jesus earned it for you and gives it to you. Now live like that. Grow in maturity. Grow in faith. Grow in serving other people. Grow in giving. Grow in generosity. Grow in patience. Grow in humility. Grow in self-control. He says, in the one breath, you are already blood-bought, baptized, forgiven. Now, in the next breath, grow and mature. Knock some of that stuff off. And here's, you've heard me say this before, but here's something that has helped me in describing the mystery of Christian life. It is about becoming what you already are. Anytime I think of growing in faith, I think, well, I already have everything in Jesus that he's given me, and yet I'm still growing. How does this, you know, it's a bit of a mystery. It is, you end up becoming what you already are. You are new. You are forgiven. You are a child of God forever. And now when you grow in faith, you are simply becoming what God has already declared you to be. Which is why Jesus talks this way in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, he's looking at his disciple and he says, you already are the salt of the earth. And then the next line says, now stay salty. Don't get not salty. You already are the light of the world. Now shine. Become what you already are. At the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, it's the poor in spirit that inherit the kingdom. It's the broken who are made whole. It's the sinner who's forgiven. You are already made new, and yet there's still growth. I hope I become more like Jesus in my lifetime. I hope to see the Holy Spirit working in me and in you and forming and changing us. But when that happens, you are simply becoming more of what you already are. God is forming you into what he has already declared you to be because of what Jesus has done for you. Become what you already are. And that's the tension that I think we feel and we live into. Having arrived in the kingdom, yet continually arriving at the same time. Or matured, yet still maturing. Completed, yet incomplete, grown, yet growing, having the mind of Christ, as Paul says, yet at times still a spiritual infant or child. Which is why then in those verses he says we become argumentative, petty, selfish, and yet at the same time God's fellow kingdom workers. So he's just called people, you know, petty and jealous and all those things, and then he calls them God's fellow kingdom workers. You already have the mind of Christ because Jesus died, rose, and gave it. You are already God's fellow workers. Now, cut that jealousy out along with envy, selfishness, lust, anger, all those things. And what Paul's saying is, guess what? All those things that you haven't kept well, Jesus has for you. Jesus has been perfect where you failed in all of those things. And Jesus gives you his perfect record. It's all yours. Grow into it. Become what you already are. There's some other language Christians use to talk at this. You've probably heard these two words, saint and sinner. And we like to think, well, you know, sometimes I'm a saint, sometimes I'm a sinner, or maybe I'm half and half, 50-50, and if I, you know, follow Jesus more, I'll be like 70-30, and maybe eventually we get like 99-1, and that'd be pretty good. No, it's all the time. I am all the time perfect 100% saint and still broken 100% sinner. I am 100% completely saved by Jesus, completely made new, forgiven, washed. Nobody can take that away from you. As we say in your baptism, you are marked with the cross of Christ forever. Your passport to the new kingdom is signed, stamped, and sealed by Jesus, saint. And because I'm a saint, that means I want to do good. I want to give generously of time and money, and I want to be patient with others, and I want to serve, and I want to care for the poor, and I want to welcome the outsider, as the Bible encourages us to do. I want to do all those things. But I'm also 100% sinner. And I wish it weren't so, but it's true. And that means even though I have a great capacity for good, I also have a great capacity for evil. I don't live up to who I want to be. I am ashamed of my thoughts and words and actions. And even when I am growing in faith and hopefully become more like Jesus, I continually wrestle with the same things over and over again. And I'm guessing I might be describing you as well. We have this great capacity for good and for evil, sinner, saint. Or in other words, become what you already are. God's fellow workers. That's you. With the mind of Christ. Become what you already are in Jesus. Amen.